Welcome to this latest edition of the Real Deal Podcast on this 19th of March, 2019. I'm your host, Surreal Gerald Quinn, discussing the world of sports and pop culture. As always, you can find this podcast streaming live here on our YouTube channel. We'll definitely be shifting over to Blog Talk Radio sometime later on tomorrow. Probably, I'm going to say tomorrow evening, it'll be available through Blog Talk Radio. But again, YouTube, Stitcher, iTunes, Apple.iTunes, look up Real Deal Podcast. You can find us in a variety of places as we, Anchor as well, possibly, maybe Anchor. I'm not sure yet, but you'll be able to find us in a variety of places. I'm going to begin with a happy birthday, a birthday shout out to my mother, who is, I'm not going to say that, I don't tell her age, but doesn't look her age. So happy birthday to her as, it being 12:21, we're doing a late night podcast. Didn't get one in over the weekend. So sometimes we do like to switch it up, do a late night. I want to give a salute. Before we get to all the tournament stuff, I'm going to give you my bracket. Not the entire bracket. I'm not going to give you every single pick. I'll give you the majority of the picks and sleepers and my championship and Final Four picks. But I want to give a salute to the San Antonio Spurs, man. How many times have we counted out the Spurs and just been dead-ass wrong? About 2 weeks ago, 2.5 weeks ago, I said this team, they didn't look like a playoff team. Now they stand. They've won 9 straight. They had a great win versus Golden State. And Golden State was playing hard. Golden State wanted to win that game. This wasn't one of these Golden State games where, they just cough it up or just come out there. Golden State with a half-assed effort. Golden State was trying to win this game. But San Antonio is playing great. Popovich is Popovich. That franchise, the consistency, they don't make any excuses. No matter who leaves, how many new players they have year in and year out, they are the gold standard of franchises in American sports. That's all there is to it. There is no two ways about it. I understand that Cousins did not play in this game for Golden State, but whatever. We got like 4 All-Stars. Durant came back. So, I'm not certainly not making any excuses for San Antonio, for Golden State. But San Antonio's just playing as well as any team in the league right now, winning 9 straight. So just a salute to them. And right now, as we stand here on the 19th of March, the San Antonio Spurs are 5th in the Western Conference, tied with Portland. And they can't go ahead because they're actually 2 games in the loss column. But tied with Portland, a game behind Portland, 2 games in the loss column. But 5th, tied with the Oklahoma City Thunder, who of course lost last night without Russell Westbrook, which you knew they would once he got that suspension off that ridiculous technical foul, which was just completely idiotic and selfish on his on Saturday night against Golden State. We'll talk more about the NBA over the course of the program. I just wanted to salute the San Antonio Spurs because it's just getting a model of consistency year in and year out. They get it done. They just needed to be acknowledged. Again, 9th straight win tonight over a Golden State team that had 2 great wins in their own right over the course of the past couple games. But we're going to get to the NCAA tournament. Of course, we'll begin tomorrow with the first 4, Tuesday and Wednesday. Then the real games where the major players will begin all on Thursday afternoon at around noon or 2 p.m. I think the first game is at 12. To be honest with you, I think the first game, will be around 12:40 or so on Thursday. And listen, this tournament, looking at the brackets, There are not that many quality teams. It's top heavy, but I don't think the top teams are great. People are put Duke is a overwhelming favorite, the biggest favorite since Kentucky in 2015. Whatever that means, really doesn't mean anything because that if you remember, that was a Karl Anthony Towns team that lost. A historically loaded Kentucky team, a Kentucky team that had no business losing, that should have went undefeated, lost to Wisconsin in the semifinals in 2015. That team had no business losing, none whatsoever. Not forget, let alone in the national semifinal. But Duke is an overwhelming favorite, and I don't think this is a great Duke team. I think they have great talent. Just because you have great talent doesn't make you a great team. I don't compare this Duke team. I've seen many of Duke teams that are better teams than this particular team. This is not a dominant team, but they are deservedly the favorite to win it. They have the most talent and still got Coach K. They of course were the number one overall seed in the coming off the ACC tournament win, where if there was any doubts or question marks about Zion Williamson and the ability, his just, generational skills that he has. I mean, some of the stuff I saw on social media, I'm in the process of just completely disconnecting from social media, to be honest with you. That's a personal thing. That goes beyond some of y'all, some of y'all's dumb opinions that I see on Facebook every day. But in terms of sports and other things, in particular sports, some of the stuff is just, you just look at it and laugh. But some of the stuff on Zion Williamson, I'm like, are you watching the same games that I watched? I mean, somebody said Zion Williamson didn't deserve Player of the Year because he missed five games. I'm like, what are we talking about here? I mean, he played 26 out of 31 games. But he is a generational talent. The game moves slow for him. I mean, he's never in a rush. And I implore you to, even if you hate Duke, you have to watch this guy play. He knows how to play basketball. He knows how to play basketball. And that is the highest compliment that I can possibly even give him. Because he's a guy who is, don't get caught up in the athleticism. Don't get, don't, that, that will, that's like, that, that's, you know, that's just not, you're not being fair to him. You're not paying attention. You just get caught up in what he can do athletically. So, and that was a great game on Friday night. Either game with Duke and North Carolina, easily, North Carolina easily could have won that game. Again, yeah, but the difference was, of course, Zion and Duke. Of course, you knew the ACC final was going to be a foregone conclusion. Nothing really to complain about as far as the seeding, as far as the committee. I know a lot of people wanted to go crazy about Michigan State, Michigan, and the committee, the chairman's excuse on why Michigan State was put in the same bracket as Duke was stupid. Let's be honest, Michigan State was in line possibly for a number one seed. They definitely should have been in the West. When Gonzaga, who was rated as the lowest number four seed, they should not have been in a conference. They should not have been in a bracket with Duke, who is the overall number one seed. That just made zero sense to me. I don't care about the geography. How many times? I mean, we've seen UConn go number of times in Calhoun's Final Four teams where they went out West, not as a number one seed, but even as a number two seed. So that is ridiculous to even. For that geography and that nonsense, the seeding also always to take precedent over over geography and location. But so Michigan State's in the same bracket with Duke. Duke is deservedly the favorite. I think Michigan State will play Duke in the Elite Eight. The sleeper in that bracket to me is Virginia Tech. They get Virginia Tech was 17-3 before their point guard got hurt. They still finished 7-5. We're able to keep their heads above water, but we're not the same team without them. They get them back to the tournament. If he can get them anything, they become a dangerous team. They are scheduled to play Duke. They're number four seed. They could play Duke in the Sweet 16. That would be a dangerous game for Duke. A game I think Duke will win, but they to me they are a sleeper of the East bracket. I have Duke advancing to the Final Four, beat Michigan State in the Elite Eight. I'm looking at that bracket right now. Again, there's nothing really compelling about that bracket outside of Michigan State playing, hopefully playing Duke in the Elite Eight. That would be a great. I really like this Michigan State team. And I know Michigan State has had some shaky, despite Izzo, Izzo, and Izzo's a top coach. We know he's a top coach. They've had some struggles recently in tournaments. Teams have underachieved. I like this team. This team is scrappy. This team has battled through injuries. They beat Michigan three times. Now, this was a Michigan team that started off the season 17-0. This was a Michigan team that at one point was undefeated against ranked teams. They did destroy North Carolina. I know it was November, and North Carolina is not the same team, but they toyed with North Carolina in a November game at home. But this is a big time Michigan team, and I like Michigan to go far in this tournament as well. So to beat Michigan three times and to do it without a healthy team, they did it the one time in Ann Arbor. They didn't have Langford, Nick Ward, or Nick Ward, and they went down there and had one of the most impressive wins of the season in Ann Arbor. And again, you beat a team three times. It is in conference a team, a top 10 team, a legitimate final. Michigan is a Final Four caliber team. So I like this Michigan State team. They're scrappy. They would give Duke a fight without question. Izzo, I know Izzo's record against Krzyzewski has been awful, but it would be a great matchup. Hopefully we get to see it. That is my pick in the East bracket, the Elite Eight, Michigan and Duke with Duke going to the Final Four. In terms of the West, I have Gonzaga's number one seed, but I don't trust Gonzaga. I don't something about this Gonzaga team that I just don't like. There's always one bracket that I completely just blow up, and it was this bracket. I have Michigan and Florida State playing in the regional final. Buffalo is my sleeper. I have Michigan advancing to the Final Four to play Duke. I think Michigan has always been a quality tournament team. Beilein is a tremendous tournament coach. It is hard to prepare for Michigan, especially with the quick turnaround when you go from Friday to Sunday, or when you go from Thursday to Saturday, in back-to-back weekends. It is very difficult to prepare for that team. They are a great defensive team. I know they're not. I know offensively they can have some. They have a couple of warts, but they have some tough guys as well. And they can play, and they will play any style. They'll go up and down the court. They'll do a little bit of transition. They'll also do some. They also can execute at a high level in the half court. And again, Beilein is a great tournament coach. He's their tournament coach. There are guys in the tournament who are great in regular season who have been mediocre. Rick Barnes, to say the least. That's why I'm not high on Tennessee. He's one of them who great regular season, but to come tournament time. His teams always fall short. Beilein is the polar opposite of that. His teams get better as the year go along. Now this year they had no way but to go but down. They were 17-0. They were playing as well as any team in the country. They were, they again they were I wouldn't say overachieving, but there was no way that they were going to continue playing at that level. But in a decent Big Ten conference, in a top, a very good Big Ten conference, so I like Michigan to get to the Final Four over a talented, athletic Florida State team. Again, Florida, a lot of times you'll see, and I saw this a couple times. Syracuse did this a couple, has done this a couple times, where you look at North Carolina, you look at Duke, you look at Virginia. That fourth team that's a quality team in the conference that's top heavy kind of gets overlooked. Syracuse in 96 got overlooked when you had Georgetown, UConn, and Villanova, who all were legitimate championship contenders in 96. and Syracuse ended up playing for a national championship led by John Wallace. I'm not saying Florida State is going to get that far, but this Florida State team is dangerous. They're athletic, they're deep, they're well coached. They got to the Elite Eight last year. They have they're a better shooting team than they were last year. I see them getting to the Elite Eight and falling to a talented Michigan team, which would be if I'm not mistaken, that would be a rematch from last year's Elite Eight. I think Michigan beat them in the Elite Eight last year. I want to say they played in the Elite Eight last year. I'll come back with that before the program's out. But Florida State again is deep, athletic. Do they defend? You know, now they struggle. They can struggle to score, and that. You know, against a Michigan team that is a great defensive team, that you know, that's where you have to give Michigan a slight edge, and also with Beilein. But don't discount Michigan, Florida State. I would not be shocked if Florida State is in the Final Four. Buffalo, we know what they did last year against Arizona. Manhandled Arizona. That's a big Buffalo is a big time team. They won 31 games. They beat Syracuse at the Carrier Dome. Also took out West Virginia when West Virginia was playing was ranked early in the season. So this Buffalo team is a legit is legit and a team that could, you know, possibly get to the Sweet 16, maybe even further. But definitely to they definitely could be I could definitely see them in the second weekend. So Michigan, I have in the East and Mid East and West, I have Duke taking on Michigan in that first half of the Final Four bracket. We're gonna go south where Virginia is the number one seed. A lot of people are high on Virginia. I've had my share of Virginia disappointments. I'm not gonna fall for it. Last year, I picked them to win a national championship. It's not gonna happen this year. I like Virginia a lot. I respect Virginia. I know how well Virginia has matched up and has given North Carolina all kinds of problems the last 3 or 4 years. I think Bennett is a top young coach. And I love how he's rebuilt that program. It is a top, or they are a great program, but I just do not trust them in the postseason because they have one way of playing, and I just don't see where you have to have a plan B in the NCAA tournament. You have to be able to win games, and you have to be able to win games with multiple styles. You cannot play one way and expect to win six tournament games. It's just not going to happen. Now, they won't go out in the first round this year, but this is the bracket where I can see things getting a little crazy as well. I have Oregon and Cincinnati playing in the Elite Eight, and Cincinnati as a sleeper, and Oregon, the Oregon Ducks making the Final Four. Now, you can laugh at me, but there's always one bracket that I blow up. This was my blow-up bracket. So this is a bracket that also features Tennessee. That also features Purdue, Villanova, Wisconsin. Villanova and Wisconsin are not their typical, they're not their vintage, or those are not vintage Villanova and Wisconsin teams. A lot of people are high on Tennessee. Tennessee is another team that does not have great tournament pedigree. And I know they had a great win against Kentucky on Saturday, and then they came back and got just their asses kicked by Auburn. Give Auburn some credit, but geez, I mean, Tennessee, could you at least halfway showed up on Sunday? So I've never trusted Tennessee in big spots in the tournament, and I don't trust them now. I don't trust Virginia whatsoever. I mean, one of these years, because he's too good of a coach, Virginia's going to break through and get to the Final Four. I don't think this will. I don't think this will be the year. So I have Oregon. Cincinnati, I think Cincinnati is going under the radar with their defense. I think Cincinnati will beat Tennessee in that third round game to get to the Sweet 16, and I think Cincinnati will face off against Oregon, who amazingly, if they got to the Final Four or even to the Elite Eight, would be an amazing coaching job considering that they don't have I can't pronounce his name. I know he's Manute Bol's son. Supposed to be, he was a big time player. Is a big time player, got injured early in the season. If they had him, they would be, without question, a top 10 team. But they've done a tremendous job getting to a tournament and playing well down the stretch. They're my sleeper pick. Again, I wouldn't recommend that pick. It's one of those tournament picks. Again, I don't think there are any dominant teams. I just don't think these teams, they're not that many quality teams. So, there's always one bracket that I just completely just blow up. This was my blow up bracket. So, I have Duke, Michigan, and Oregon so far. We go to the Midwest, North Carolina, of course, the number one seed. The ACC was more than deserving of three number one seeds, especially with Kentucky, Tennessee, both not winning their conference tournaments, and both neither one of them winning their regular season or conference tournaments. That kind of opened it up for North Carolina. I think North Carolina's performance against Duke opened up a lot of eyes. And a lot of people were saying that Duke was going to manhandle North Carolina. That was the first thing from the gate, from what actually happened. I have North Carolina and Houston in the regional final, with North Carolina going to the Final Four. I really like this Houston team, despite what happened Sunday against Cincinnati. Cincinnati is very good. It's in the conference. Houston has had a big-time year. I know everybody, again, I couldn't go chalk with Kentucky. Now, I don't like how Kentucky finished the season, to be honest with you, the last couple of weeks. It's something about the Kentucky team that bothers me. I have two sleepers in that bracket, Iowa State and Auburn. Both of those teams are taking out Kansas in the, I believe they were playing the Sweet 16. I'll pull it up real quick. They actually will play in the second, in the third round. It's really the second round, but they call it the third round since the first four is considered to be the first round. They will play on that that Saturday. They will play on that Saturday in the round of 30. I'll just say the round of 32. This Kansas team is not a very good Kansas team. I know they lost the center in the beginning of the year. They lost Vic. They lost three players. So, if there was one year where Kansas was going to be on the decline and not be a vintage Kansas team, it was going to be this year. You don't blame yourself. These things happen. But this is definitely a year that Kansas is just not that good. So, Duke, Michigan, Oregon, UNC. I have Duke over Michigan, and of course UNC taking out Oregon in the Final Four, Duke, North Carolina for the championship, and this is the ultimate kibosh, but I'm gonna do it. This is my gut feeling. I have North Carolina taking out Duke for the championship, and what would be another classic. That Friday game, I thought Duke probably was gonna win the game. North Carolina shot 39% in that game, 4 of 27 from the three-point line, and came within a Nasir Little tip or Kobe White jump shot for winning the game. I mean, they could have easily won that game. Duke is a flawed team, and for a team with as much talent as they have, they are a flawed team. They're not very good shooting. They're a bad three-point shooting team. They're not a deep team. I guess you don't have to be too deep in terms of your bench when you have three, maybe top five, top ten, at worst top ten picks. Two could go in the top three or four. Two will be without question top five. Zion's going to be the one pick, and Barrett probably, I can't see Barrett going lower than fifth or maybe even fourth. So, they are loaded with talent. Point guard, Trey Jones is a quality point guard, classic defender, leader type point guard. But they have some flaws. I mean, with the shooting, you run into one of these teams that knocks down 15, 16 threes, and you have a night where you're 3 for 18 from three-point line, you could easily go home in the NCAA tournament. So the three-point shot is the ultimate equalizer in the NCAA tournament. So, again, this is not a homer pick. Me picking North Carolina, I think Carolina's playing their best ball at the right time. We know Roy Williams is a great tournament coach. They have a number of veteran guys on that team, And they, again, North Carolina, in years that they've gone out in the second round of semifinals of the ACC tournament, whether it be in 2005, whether it be in 2009, and also in even in 2017, they have gone on to win a national championship. So, again, I'm kind of nervous because everybody, it seems like everybody's picking Duke and North Carolina. Matter of fact, Duke is the favorite. Duke, you look at these tournament challenges, Duke is the, 64% picking Duke, like 15 to 20% picking North Carolina. Again, I don't like when everybody is, I don't like going along with what everybody's picking. It makes, especially for, picking this tournament, it makes me nervous, but this was my gut feeling, and this was who I had in my bracket. And probably, when I do my first, I'll do probably 7 to 8 brackets. A lot of them, would you have Duke or North Carolina winning the championship? I think there are probably, I want to say about 5 teams that could win it. I think, of course, Duke, North Carolina could win it. I think Michigan could win it. I think Michigan State could win it. I'm not big on Tennessee, not big on Kentucky this year. And I think Gonzaga probably would be that 15. So I think there are probably 5 teams that can win the whole thing. You can stretch it out to anywhere from 10 to 20 that could possibly get to the Final Four. But this time, listen, this Final Four is going to be about Zion Williamson, one, and two, the possibility of a fourth matchup between Duke and North Carolina. Those are going to be the two recurring themes of this NCAA tournament, the two defining themes of this NCAA tournament. Good week for the NBA. From Wednesday, from the Houston Golden State game on to tonight, where you had again San Antonio extending their win streak. Yesterday, now unfortunately, injuries, seemingly rear their ugly head this time of year, going to the playoffs. That's a big loss for Milwaukee, losing Malcolm Brogdon. I was looking at his numbers today. I mean, he's basically 16 points, shooting 50% from the field, 42% from 3-point range, and 90% from the line. I mean, and a very above average defensive player. He's turned himself into a hell of an NBA guard. I didn't think he was going to be this good coming out of college. And I watched him at Virginia, closely watched him at Virginia. He is a very good player, and that is a that they cannot replace him. Now, best case scenario, they win their first round, which they should, and he comes back somewhere in the middle of the second round, which they absolutely will need him, whoever they play. Philly's playing better. Philly is loaded. The Sixers have so much talent. Like, they don't even need all those guys playing well at the same time. That's how much talent they have. It's Golden State, like, not as talented, but not that far off. But again, they have to prove it in the postseason as well, especially with the coach, with Jimmy Butler. We'll see about that when it comes to postseason time. Right now, Sixers are playing well. That was a classic duel between two of the brightest young stars in the league right now, with Embiid and the Greek Freak. The Greek Freak scores so easily; is like he doesn't. He barely broke a sweat and got 52 points. I mean, he did not. It is remarkable how that guy can score and be that dynamic without a consistent jump shot. It's just, I've never seen anything like it. I've never seen anything like it. I mean, he does not have to have a he can develop a and he this unlike Ben Simmons, unlike some other guys, he's not afraid to shoot. He'll shoot it. Like, he knocked down a couple threes last night, yesterday afternoon. He's not afraid to take a shot, but he also doesn't take bad shots. Like, his 3-point shots are wide open, like wide open, wide open. So he does not take bad shots. Golden State just toyed with Oklahoma City Saturday night. Westbrook, again, we talked about that earlier. That was a dumb technical foul. It was a selfish move on his point. Served no purpose. He got suspended. They lost tonight. But overall, they got, Golden State just toyed with them. And I'm looking at that game, and Golden State played, even in the Houston game, they played with a, I don't want to, they played with a calmness, a joy. And I think it was kind of like a subliminal message to Kevin Durant. Like, we really don't need you to win a championship. Like, we may be better with you, but we can win it without you. Because we won it without you. The Marcus Cousins was great against Houston. Oklahoma City was just a clinic by the Splash Brothers. It was just a clinic. As long as those guys are in their prime, Golden State will always be near at the top of the NBA Heat. It's just, that's just the bottom line. As long as those two guys are in their prime, which they are clearly in their primes right now, Golden State will always be a title contender, regardless of who else is on the team. It's going to be very interesting, though. I was watching tonight's game. Draymond Green, and, people have talked about his drop-off, and I've been watching more Golden State lately, and I'm thinking to myself, maybe people are overblowing it. Maybe people are making too much about it. No. He, not only so much defensively, like offensively, right, at this point, he's like playing 5-on-4. Like, he's not even a threat offensively. I mean, defensively, he's still decent. But I'm telling you right now, don't be surprised if you have some closing lineups where he probably won't do this, but, could Cousins be an option to be on the closing lineup versus Draymond? If Draymond's not giving you anything, could you put a lineup out there with Curry, Thompson? Curry, Thompson, Iguodala, Cousins, Livingston. I mean, why couldn't you play Livingston at, I guess it wouldn't work, Livingston at the third guard, and you had Durant, you have Iguodala. Well, that's too many players. What am I talking about? I'm trying to figure, I don't know if Draymond looks bad. I'm trying, you can go, depending on the floor of the game, you could Curry, Thompson, Durant, Iguodala, Cousins. Why can't you? So, yeah, that's six, that's five. Curry, Thompson, Durant, Iguodala, Cousins. I mean, it doesn't matter who plays the power. I mean, depending on the matchup, I mean, Durant or Iguodala could play power. Cousins clearly will be the center. But I'm just saying, like, Draymond is a liability right now. Offensively, he's a liability, not defensively. I mean, he's still above average defender, not on the level that he was as a defensive player of the year. But offensively, it's like almost like playing 5-on-4. As we 54 minutes after the midnight hour on this latest edition of the Real Deal podcast, we are, of course, resuming streaming live on YouTube. We're back here on my YouTube channel. We will be taking this to Blog Talk Radio later on. I would say this evening it'll be available through Blog Talk Radio. Stay tuned for that. I wonder how Golden State is going to play this thing with Draymond. If Draymond has continues to play at this level offensively, because he right now again, we're not going to see too many lineups where you have Draymond and Bogut on the floor at the same time. That's just not going to happen, especially against a team like Houston, with the amount of scoring weapons that they could put on the floor. But Draymond looks, it's not even so much of his defense, but offensively he looks horrible. Wanted to get on the college bribery case. And of course, at the head of it, or at the center of it, you had Lori Loughlin and Felicity Huffman. And Yeah, I thought I read some stuff on it, and one of the thing that stood out about it to me is, you're a parent, and you're buying grades, you're buying, admissions tests, spots on a sailing team or a tennis team, and what have you. The message it's the message that you're sending to your child. That message isn't, I love you and I'll do anything for you and I want you to be well educated. That meant, you know what the message is to your child? You ain't shit. And if it wasn't for this money, you wouldn't be shit. That's the message. Like, I'm looking at this, I'm like, so it's one thing to buy grades, but how are you gonna hide playing a sport? Like, eventually that's going to get exposed that this person, this girl, or boy, this young man or young lady is not can't play this sport at a Division One or even Division Two level. But again, the overriding message to your child is, you ain't shit without this money. If we didn't have these tens of millions of dollars, you would starve. I mean, that would be, that's the message that you're sending. That is right then I don't come out and say that to that kid, but that is, that's what you're doing with your actions. So I don't feel bad. Hard to feel bad somebody with that kind of privilege, but you kind of, a part of me feels, I'm not gonna say I feel, it's hard. I can't feel sorry for somebody, but part of me just wonders, what do you just, what do you, your child, is your child that dumb, or you just don't want to make them work hard? Those are the questions that you ask. You just don't want to push them to work to earn it. But that story comes out, and it's not surprising at all. But it's just, it's like this next level privilege. I mean, next level privilege. So, and we'll continue to go on. But again, the thing that jumped out to me is the idea that it's one thing to fake, to buy test scores, and it's one thing to buy grades, but you can't fake not being good at tennis. You can't fake being like, you're a coach, you're on a team, you're a coach, you're gonna take somebody who doesn't belong on a team based on a bribe or based on that. If I'm a coach, I'm like, I'm take these L's, and this. That's a scholarship that you can give to a player, to somebody, an athlete that's going to help me actually win events or win games. So that was, that part of the that part, those parts stood out as far as as far as that particular case and that particular story. But again, nothing surprised me about that story. We see, I mean, money is power. It'll continue to happen. It's just the fact that, these, you have Felicity Huffman and Aunt Becky, behind this or a part of this. That's going to wrap it up for this latest edition of the Real Deal Podcast. As always, this is the Real Deal Podcast with Cyril Gerald Quinn, with no telling it like it is, with no apologies. Thanks for listening.